Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NGL Fine Chem Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhumika. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call of NGL Fine Chem Limited. The results and investor update have been uploaded on the stock exchanges. To take us through the results of the quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Rahul Nachne, Managing Director, and Mr. Rajesh Lawande, Full-Time Director and Chief Financial Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the financial performance, which will then be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and the risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we've mentioned in our annual reports. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good day and a warm welcome to all our investors and stakeholders joining us today. Thank you for your continued trust and support as we review the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 financial and operational performance of NGL Fine Chem Limited. I will begin by setting the context for this call. The company has witnessed a steady and broad-based recovery in demand across its product portfolio. We are optimistic about this upward trend, which has shown consistent strength. This recovery is complemented by our disciplined capital expenditure program, which remains firmly on track. The ongoing investments are nearing completion and are expected to unlock significant growth potential. Now, turning to our financial performance in detail. For Q2 FY 2026, revenue from operations touched 120.26 crores, marking a 28.64% increase compared to 93.48 crores in Q2 FY 2025. This represents a strong year-on-year growth, reflecting improved market conditions. EBITDA for the quarter was 17.16 crore, up 48.43% from 11.56 crore in the same quarter last year. The EBITDA margin expanded by 373 basis points to 14.27%, compared with 10.54% in Q2 FY 2025. Profit after tax was 9.63 crores in Q2 FY 2026, slightly below the 9.81 crore reported in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Looking at the half-year results, revenue from operations stood at 224.44 crores in H1 FY 2026, a 21.82% increase from 184.24 crores in H1 FY 2025. EBITDA for the half-year increased from 20.91 crore in H1 FY 2025 to 28.13 crore in H1 FY 2026, demonstrating a 34.54% growth. The profit after tax was 18.87 crore for H1 FY 2026, marginally lower than 19.03 crore recorded in H1 FY 2025. Operationally, in response to strong demand, we resumed outsourcing during the quarter to ensure timely delivery and continue meeting customer requirements efficiently. Our ongoing capital projects remain on track for completion by Q4 FY 2026, with commissioning scheduled for Q1 FY 2027. The first clean room under phase one is already being used for manufacturing validation batches, which is a critical step towards regulatory approvals. We successfully submitted our first API registration to the U.S. FDA in September 2025. We anticipate regulatory audits to begin in the second quarter of the next financial year, with commercial production expected to commence in the latter half of FY 2027, assuming successful audit outcomes. The addition of this regulated market capacity is expected to contribute significantly to both future sales growth and an acceleration in profitability due to the higher margin typical of such markets. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about the sustained recovery in demand and the potential unlocked by our capital investments. The nearing completion of our expansion projects positions NGL to capitalize on new opportunities in regulated markets, which should drive faster growth and improved returns. We remain vigilant as we navigate a competitive landscape, but are confident that our strategy and operational execution will support the next leg of our growth journey. With these prepared remarks, I now invite your thoughts and your questions. We can take questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers in a very tough environment. So, couple of questions. First question, sir, yes, you have mentioned in your initial commentary as well as in the presentation about improvement on the demand across regions and various customers. It looks to be a broad-based recovery. So, just to understand, typically, where this growth is coming from, is it from certain markets, certain types of customers? I understand that Asia Pacific has done much better, and also the Indian markets, the sales numbers show a much better improvement compared to the other markets, as per your presentation. So just to understand, sir, this growth, and also whether are we increasingly taking more market share, or is the overall market improving, to understand that also. The second question is with regards to the approvals. You just mentioning an initial comments about the first approval which you have triggered in US in September 25. So if you could share some more details on the various CPs and DMFs which we have already got in Europe, and how do we see the sales from Europe in this current year? Have they started going up, and do you expect further in this quarter 3, quarter 4 and the coming year FY27? With regards to the regulatory European customers who are buying only for Europe and not just for both the continents.
Yeah, thank you for your question, Rahul. We have seen improvement in demand occurring across markets, and more so specifically in India and Asia, as you correctly pointed out. We see that there is a growth in demand currently which is taking place. And your second question was whether we are taking market share. So it's too early for me to say whether market share is taken or something, but there is definitely a growth in demand in the market. And our increased numbers are not really by taking away market share from some competitors, but due to the overall improvement in demand. Now, having said that, this is the first quarter where we have seen such healthy growth after close to about 10 quarters of, hardly flat movement. So we are a little cautiously optimistic right now. We hope that this should continue for at least a few quarters, and then we will know that sustained growth is back in the market. With regard to the US filing, we have not received any approval as yet. We have just filed our first registration in September this year. And we expect, now with this registration, we have got a sponsor customer who will apply to the US FDA to trigger an audit. And we expect the audit to get triggered sometime in the second half of calendar year 26. Currently, we have got 3 CEPs already granted in Europe and 5 ASMFs. We have applied for grant of further 3 CEPs in Europe, which are currently under process over there. And 3 more ASMFs are being filed separately. It has not led to immediate advantage to us in terms of sale. We expect sales to emerge from this in the next year. But the strongest growth would come when the US registration also is granted, because a number of customers look for a common supplier for both their US and EU markets. I hope that answers your question.
But just a follow-up. So with regards to the European, in the previous call, you had mentioned that we were looking at a sales of roughly 30 crores in the current year from the EU sales, and then further ramp up as we move forward. So this year, we stick to that number of around 30 crores, which has been ramped from the existing.
That's right. We expect to have those sales.
And how do you feel that it could ramp up in the next year, FY27?
It's still too early because we don't have any forecast for next year yet. Most of the customers are preparing their budgets. So I am unable to comment on that right now.
Sure. One last question, sir. With regards to your top line, 120 crores which you have done, and you have mentioned that we have done some amount of outsourcing also in the current quarter. So just to understand, as we speak today, the current capacity of the existing plant on an annual basis should be around now what? With the kind of outsourcing, should we take it as 500 crores or five? At what level do we take that number?
It's a little difficult to define for us to define the capacity in terms of in terms of the sales top line. The reason being that in this industry, the more backward integrated you get, the more manufacturing steps we carry out in-house. And if we are just doing a one-step product, we can probably do much more volume. So it becomes a little difficult for us to address that. But currently, roughly between 15 to 20% of our production is outsourced. The rest is all insourced by us.
That's helpful. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ishan Thakkar from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and a good set of numbers. So as you highlighted the US market, how is the market currently performing and how much is the US currently sourcing from China? And which APIs are we targeting in the initial phase for the US market? And how big could be US market opportunity become over the next 6 to 7 years?
Yeah. So there are no published data by which I can tell you how much China is supplying to the US. The data is a little unclear when it comes to veterinary products. But for us, I can tell you that the farm animal market is fairly large in the US. And that is where our strength is. And it presents a great opportunity. So we have built our whole strategy based on the fact that we should be able to generate a good amount of business going forward with the US and EU registrations. Both have to go hand in hand. It presents a great opportunity going forward.
Okay. And you often say that China is leading manufacturer and we compete with them. So, however, China is also our one of the largest export destinations. So, could you shed some light on that?
We do a total of 35 products. So China is a market for us probably for about 7 to 8 products. In the rest of the products, we are competitors.
Okay. Okay, got it.
I will be in a queue. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. And congratulations for a very strong set of numbers. So my first question is, you know, we are currently doing, you know, 120 crore run rate, and you're saying that the demand in, you know, across the board is very strong, and we are already doing 15-20% outsourcing. So, you know, in terms of capacity, you know, let's say if the demand remains buoyant, you know, what are we doing to ensure that we are able to grow in unregulated markets before the regulated part kicks in? That's my first question. Second question, sir, you know, you indicated that the, you know, the first API filing which has happened for US market, you know, there is a sponsor customer. So is it fair to assume that most of the filings that we do for regulated markets will have some kind of a commitment or underlying contract, you know, for offtake? So if you can elaborate on that. Third question, sir, is I'm putting all questions together. That's okay, right?
Yeah, that will be the best.
Yeah. So third question is, sir, we have seen decent improvement in gross margin, you know, this quarter, despite realization being, you know, under pressure. But below the gross margin, the costs have gone up. So one, is it because of the new plant coming up, the incremental costs have come in? And second part is when, you know, phase two will get eventually, you know, capitalized in Q4. So what kind of incremental cost, you know, that we see coming through the P&L and the impact of same on the margin? And last question, sir, on the fluranolol, I think the fluranolol, you had indicated that 10, 12 guys in India were kind of manufacturing, and we are the only guys who are manufacturing the API. So update on that from Indian perspective as well as the, you know, the global perspective, how that product we are planning to scale up, or where we are on that product.
Right. Your first question was our ability to grow in the unregulated markets and how we will meet the capacity for that. So what we have done is we have tied up for outsourcing of our products, key intermediates, with different vendors. And we have adequate clean room areas to manufacture the finished product. So we are outsourcing products out and getting in. So the clean room areas are fully occupied, and we are able to meet all the requirement from our existing plants plus the outsourcing. With regard to commitment from US customers, no customer will commit to us unless and until we have got the registration, because their ability to buy starts only after the registration is done. So we are in discussions with different customers. We have a sponsor customer ready for our first filing, but the commitments will come only subsequently. So we expect actual marketing tie-ups to commence probably in 2027 onwards. Our gross margins are better, even though with lower realizations currently. We have had an increase in the cost with the new plant going on stream, but it's a very small plant with just one small pilot clean room which we have commissioned. No great significant expense has gone through the P&L on account of this new plant. With regard to the new plant which we will commission next year, we expect OPEX to be in the range of about 1.2 crores per month to 1.5 crores, and that's the impact it will have on the P&L. With regard to fluranolol, the commercial launch has taken place in May this year, after the expiry of the patent in March 2025. Customers have already launched the product. Everybody is now waiting to see how the market reacts, For us, we have been able to market this product both in the domestic market and the export market. And it's definitely one of our star products with a good growth rate in the current year. We are fairly optimistic of this product.
Okay. And I know, one follow-up. So, Efoxalanar still remains under patent and, you know, we are just only supplying sample quantity, right?
Yeah, that is only for developmental purposes. That patent expires in 2027.
Right. God, sir, I am one person, I'll come back in. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers after a long time. Sir, my first question was on the demand, was on the competitive scenario part. So, demand side, you highlighted that, you know, demand has been pretty buoyant. If you can talk about, you know, how is the competitive dynamics currently in the market in India as well as from the Chinese players? That was the first question. The second question was on, you know, you spoke about, you know, our operating costs being around 1.2 to 1.5 crore per month from the new plant. If you can also share, like, how much will be the depreciation for the new plant for FY27? And on the new plant itself, do you expect we can achieve EBITDA break-even in FY27 or... you know, FY28 only, we should see some, you know, the new plant breaking even. Fourth question was on, you know, was on the ramp up from regulated market. So as you said, we will get a significant scale up only, even from Europe, only when we get registration in the US. So, like, how do you see things, you know, how do you see approvals coming from US this year and next year? And how do you see the ramp up from the regulated markets once our new plant starts in, let's say, March, April of next year?
Yeah, thank you, Ankit. With regard to competitive dynamics, there are a good 20 players, roughly about, I would say, between 15 and 20 manufacturers here in India, who are manufacturing veterinary products. And probably double the number in China. We have found that in the last 3 years, the number of competitors in this market has grown. Because the market size has also grown and attractiveness was also better. So there is an increased interest from different companies, which we see both here in India as well as in China. With regard to depreciation for the new plant, I really don't have that number with me. I am unable to give you that number. But I can sort of give you an estimate, which may or may not be perfect.
Sure.
But I would say between 6 and 8 crores would be the full year depreciation, additional depreciation next year, which will come from the expansion.
Sure.
EBITDA break-even we expect from the new plant in FY28, not in FY27, because FY27 is going to be basically getting all registrations done for us. And with regard to the US, EU and US registrations and approvals, the scale of sales come when the approvals exist in both the places. Until then, there are some players who operate only in Europe. Those are the ones we are currently targeting to whom we have already commenced sales. And there are companies who are doing sales both in EU as well as in the US. Those customer acquisition will definitely take longer for us, which we expect in calendar year 27 or so.
Sure. Just one follow-up here. Basically, we also have customers who will just be focused on the EU markets, and when our new plants start, at least the ramp-up from those companies will start for some of the products.
That's right, yeah.
And we have 3 CEP and 4, 5, you said, the other approvals.
5 ASMS, yeah.
5 ASMS. So, and we have filed for how many other new products from the...
3 more CEPs have been filed.
Sure.
And 3 more ASMS are in the process of being filed by March next year.
Okay. Just pardon me for my ignorance, but what is the difference between, ASMS and CEP, and how does the, will we be able to market the ASMS also across the Europe, or it will be like country specific?
Yeah, so CEP is a common registration across all of Europe.
Yeah.
So once a CEP is granted, there is no need to go and do a registration in each country separately.
Sure.
CEP is granted only for those products which are mentioned in the European Pharmacopoeia. If a product is not mentioned in the European Pharmacopoeia, we cannot apply for a CEP. Then we have to go with a separate ASMF, Active Substance Drug Master File. We have to go with the ASMF and we have to file it in each country, in each European country, for permission to sell the product over there. So, that is the difference between the CEP and ASMF. ASMF is registration in each country separately. CEP is one umbrella application which gives you access to the entire European market.
Okay, got it. Okay, and like for 5 ASMS, we have filed across the major countries of Europe, or we are still in the process of that?
Sorry, I did not get that question.
For the 5 ASMS that we have got the approval for, have we filed in all the major countries, or that's still in the still work in progress?
So the filing gets done along with the customer's requirement.
Yeah.
So some have been filed in all. I think about 2 products we have done the filing in all. And for 3, we have done the filing in between 12 to 18 countries in Europe. So it depends on which market the customer is selling to, which countries. And based on that, we keep on going and doing the filing.
Sure. Okay. I have more questions. I'll come back in a bit. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akash Jain from MoneyCurves Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. And pardon if my question is quite basic. But, sir, I used to be following and be invested in this company earlier. So, pre-2022, our margin profile was at 20% plus EBITDA margins. FY23 onwards, obviously, there has been a significant decline. And I think in the con calls, you have alluded to the reasons for some of them. But if I look at the gross margin decline has been a little bit, but I think even with 10% revenue growth, I think our cost base has gone up actually quite a lot. And across the board, right? Manufacturing expenses have gone up, employee expenses have gone up, other expenses have gone up. So can you please help me understand, say 10% revenue growth is still there and gross margin decline has been maybe 2-3%. But I think the other cost base has gone up quite a bit. So can you just maybe summarize what has really happened on the other cost side for us to have a significant decline in EBITDA margins over the last 3 years, sir?
Are you referring to EBITDA margin decline over the last 3 years, or you are talking specifically of the current year?
No. What is it? Because the cost expense for all below gross margin has all gone up over the last 3 years, right? So we have seen a significant decline starting FY23 onward, which has not yet recovered much. Even when the gross margin decline has not been as significant. So clearly the decline also come from rest of the expenses going up. So I'm just trying to understand broadly what has really led to this kind of increase in cost base over the last 3 years and continues to be the case right now also.
So we have been probably through these questions earlier. Now I don't really have data on that, but I can tell you what's happened in the current half year, if that is okay with you.
Sure.
Current half year we have seen our cost of outsourcing go up by close to something like 30%, because a large amount has been outsourced. Plant upkeep cost in terms of maintenance has seen an increase, because we were preparing the plants, upgrading the plants in terms of preparedness for audits by customers. And salaries cost has gone up by about 15% because of onboarding of the team for the new plant which we commissioned. So these are the three main factors which have increased our cost.
Okay. No problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Bhavi. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on a very decent number in a very tough environment. So that was just a few clarifications. Some of the questions have been already asked. So can you mention that, you mentioned that we already started the process for filing in US as well. So, and the real pickup will happen once we get that, because most customers buy from the same source. So when do you see that pickup happening? When do you see that registration process getting completed, and how long is that process? Because I think US is just, this is the first filing in the US that you've done. Please correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, so this is the first filing we have done. Typical history has shown that a best case scenario takes a US filing to actual audit in about 12 to 15 months. Worst case scenario can be even longer. But we believe that we should be able to trigger an audit within this 12 to 15 months period from filing. That is the fit we are going forward with. And we expect that this to be triggered in the second half of next year.
So, Rahul, just from that perspective, so how many, like you said, you have three CEPs filed for approval. You have three CEPs approved and five ENSS. With the US also, you will have the same portfolio first, or it will be more specific products, like you file one and it will be, once you get this approval and then you'll file the second one, how is it going to be?
So the first priority is to file for the same products for which we have registration in the US, so that we can offer customers a single supply with registration in both the markets. So we have got a total of 15 products which we have in the pipeline, for which validation batches are being done. Out of that, validation for three products is already completed. The fourth one is going on right now. By December next year, we hope to complete 15 validations.
Right. So, for the ones where the validation batches have been completed, is it possible to sell those products to the EU market?
We have to apply, submit the VMF to the US FDA. Once the US FDA visits the site and if it approves the site, only then are we able to sell it. Otherwise, we are not able to sell. We need the audit and approval from US FDA.
Right. No, I was asking in EU, for the products where the validation batches is done, can we start selling them before triggering the audit, or we will have to wait for from the EU GMP authority?
We have already started selling in the EU. And in fact, we have given a guidance that we are hoping for up to 30 crores revenue to come from the EU in the current fiscal year.
Got it. Okay. Sorry, maybe I missed that. Sorry. Okay. In terms of, so you mentioned that you expect the break-even from the new plant in FY28. In terms of additional cost before depreciation and interest, what are the additional costs and what kind of ramp-up are you seeing in FY27? We just to understand that from the new plant. What kind of capacity utilization or what kind of broad top line you think you can achieve and what kind of loss you are seeing?
We don't see any significant capacity utilization coming from this plant in FY27, very frankly, because the plant will start producing significantly only after getting approval from the USFDA. If we have got capacity, we will not keep it idle. We will start manufacturing for some of our better markets like Brazil, Latin America, and those will start manufacturing from this facility. So it's not going to be idle. We will. That's the last thing on our minds, to keep capacity sitting idle. So we will start definitely using it. What percentage we will start using, I'm unable to just give you off the cuff right now.
Got it. And now just one more question on the recovery. So you mentioned in your opening remarks that the recovery has been broad-based. You also mentioned that competition is still pretty much there. So, in terms of improvement in margins, so do you see that the margins from, we did about 14% EBITDA margin this quarter. So do you see that this to be like the base now, and sort of, will improve as sort of better products come in and sales from EU, et cetera, go up and as we go along? But, or do you see that because competition is still not abating, the margins can still fluctuate here and there a bit?
Yeah, so we are hopeful of improving margins. Right now we have seen a recovery of demand. We need to be a little cautious about it and see that this recovery is a longer term recovery, you know, not just a short term recovery. With this recovery coming, margins should improve just because of the scale of activities going up. We don't see any gross margin improvement as such, but with the scale of activity up, we hope that we should be back to our EBITDA growth, targeted EBITDA rate of between 15% and 18%.
And like October and November have been like the recovery is continuing, that what you're seeing, what you saw in Q2?
Yes, currently the growth is quite strong, yeah.
Okay. And this last question now, so this registration that we are doing in these in EU and also now in Europe, what would be the rough approximate cost that you would have been taking in your P&L?
It's in Europe, it's about 18,000 euros per product.
18,000 euros per product, okay. Got it. And US would be how much? Roughly?
US, we have just done the filing right now. So, still now, nothing is initiated.
Okay.
We don't have the cost of, you know, internal resources which we have put on each product separately, because there's a team which is working on it. Analytical support comes from our plant, so that has not been costed in. These are just fees which we have paid, either to a consultant or to the regulator.
Right. And finally, so we have about 88 crores of debt on the balance sheet. So as we sort of finish the capex by end of this financial year, so where do you see this debt sort of peaking out at?
So we have got sanctioned for 95 crores debt. We hope to not utilize this debt completely fully. We hope to curb it. Till now, we have, I think, used something like 45 crores or so. 46 crores, I think. Out of 134 crores, which we have already spent. Worst case scenario, it will max at 95. Best case scenario, probably at around 75.
You got it. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Rahul. All the very best for the remaining 5 years.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, please pardon my ignorance. I'm new to the company. I'm trying to understand, sir, that in FY21, we did around 260 crore revenue with a net block of around 64 crores. Now, sir, after this present capex, our net block will increase to something like 230 or so crore, so which is basically a four-fold increase from FY21 net block. Sir, so is it fair to assume that our revenue also, once we are able to ramp up the new capacities to a full extent, can reach around 100 crore top line at current realization?
100 crore top line. We are already at 100 crore.
Sir, 1000 crore top line.
Okay, so this does not go exactly as a multiple the way you are putting it. Reason being that those are old plants, depreciated plants, and we have been doing brownfield expansions. This is a true greenfield expansion. So the output we expect from this investment is in the range of about 1.72. So 1,000 crores seems to be a bit of a stretch from the existing investment.
Right, sir. So now, like you mentioned that the demand is sustaining, so has some capacity gone out of the market? Some players have shut, like you mentioned that 15-20 Indian players and double of that in China. So as the demand is now seems to be turning around, so firstly, has any capacity gone out of the market, and is there any further capacity that is in the pipeline?
So we have not seen any capacity going out. All the existing competitors are still there. In the last 2 or 3 years, some more have also been added. So there is no decrease in capacity. As to new capacity being created, there is no forum which gives this information. We just come to know about it as and when a company comes in and starts offering the product in the market. So I am unable to give you any information on future capacity being created.
Right, sir. And sir, what will be the peak debt that we will require on our balance sheet for the capex as well as for additional working capital to ramp up, let's say, by FY28 or FY27 end?
What? I did not understand. What number are you, what exactly are you looking for here?
So the peak net debt that we will have to take to...
Earlier question by Rohit, and I said that the maximum debt, long-term debt, which we hope to take for this project will be 95 crores.
Sir, and what about the working capital?
Currently, working capital is around 45 crores. We expect it to grow to about 60 crores.
Okay. And sir, all these players that you mentioned, our competitors, we are selling at par. Do we have any edge over them in terms of cost of production or, let's say, integration or superior realizations? So, I mean, what I'm trying to understand is where do we score above all the competitors that are there and that have come up recently?
So, we have got a fully integrated supply chain, where we try to go to the, you know, key starting material for each of the products which we are manufacturing. So we are fully integrated for at least 60% of our products. For the balance, 40 products which have been started in the last 2 or 3 years, we will we are in the process of setting up more integrated supply chains. So we try to bring a plus factor essentially by ensuring that we have a fully integrated chain and a good working chemistry. That's what brings margin for us. With regard to realizations, we are in a B2B business. No buyer gives a higher price just on reputation.
Right, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shivam Sarvaiya from Humanvision Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just one question on the OPEX front. So you said that we are expecting 1.2 to 1.5 crores of additional OPEX once the plant gets commissioned. This is per month. But sir, there would be some expenditure, as you alluded some time back, that you know there is a team that works to file these CEPs. There is a team that works to get these registrations done. Also, there would be certain expenditures about for the new plant which are being expensed through the P&L and not capitalized. That is what I believe. So my question is, sir, first of all, is this understanding correct? And second is that if that is the case, then what part of our 40 to 45 crores of expenditure that we do on a quarterly basis is attributable to this newer plant and these new activities that we are doing? So that's my question.
I have not fully understood your question, but I'll just try to explain. And if you feel that there is some clarification, please you can go ahead and ask me for it. What we do is that the team which we have for filing is doing the filing not only for the new plant but also for our existing products and the existing plants. So all the expenditure on such filings is not construed as a capex, but it is construed as an opex. So that gets fully charged to the P&L. What does not get charged to the P&L is things like interest, manpower costs directly associated with the plant, those get capitalized. That all gets charged off as revenue expense, because that is whatever is unrelated to the project exercise. Now, after the plant has become operational, the manpower which is working on the validation batches and the power and the other costs involved in that, that is also getting charged to the P&L. That is not being capitalized. Whatever is with regard to the uncommissioned part of the plant only gets capitalized.
Right, sir. So then, sir, my question out here is that how much, what is the quantum of that cost associated with the new plant that is being charged currently to the P&L account? That's what I was looking for.
Right. So that data is not available separately, and we'll have to get that data.
Okay, sir. As a shareholder, if I reach out to the CS team, could you help me with that?
Yeah, we will check on that, yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit Minocha from Adesi Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. My first question is with regard to, I mean, you've been talking about a strong outlook maybe for H2 in terms of margins. But once the capacity comes in FY27, do we have any kind of indications on what kind of the EBITDA margin range are we kind of looking at for the year FY27?
Ankit, we don't give guidance on on these. So I am unable to give you guidance on that right now.
Okay, sure. Secondly, just a general question on the industry. I mean, you started to see some strength in terms of demand. Other places, we are still seeing some kind of pricing pressure in certain places. So what is your general read on the API industry as such in your markets and in regulated markets? What are the reasons, I mean, that this pricing pressure has kind of stayed on for as long as it is? And do we think that we might be moving on to a more sustained recovery overall for the industry?
So the pricing pressure was created mainly by the supply-demand imbalance. Demand has been subdued for a significantly long time. And now it's first started with the inventory unwinding post-COVID, and then generally demand has been muted in many markets, and supply has been strong with capacity being created. So this imbalance has resulted in low pricing. For pricing to recover, we have to see a sustained growth in demand, which will last at least for a few quarters. And right now, this we are just one quarter into it. So we have to wait and see how sustained this growth is and for how long it lasts before we can look at price recoveries.
Okay, sure. And finally, the regulated market foray is still a little far off, but still, I mean, if I was to ask you, once you get there, what is it that kind of gives you the right to win in those markets? How is it that you kind of plan to compete with the already established players in the regulated markets, say being a comparatively smaller player? And how is it that you plan to build those markets up?
So our whole decision was taken when we reached out to customers whom we know and we are aware of. So out of the top 10 animal health companies, we are currently working with 5 of them, not in their US markets, but in other markets. And they were receptive to the idea of having us in as a supplier for the US market. And we have been speaking with other customers also in the meanwhile. So we see that there is a good response coming from customers over there, and they are in need of having a good, reliable supplier. So there is an opportunity available for us.
Right. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nasser from Credit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, you mentioned that in first half, the cost of outsourcing for you has gone up 30%. Is that correct?
That is right.
So, despite that, your gross margins in first half has gone up by 100 basis points.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have seen some kind of price increase because last year was very bad from a price point of view. So, you got some price increases, or what is led to this increase despite cost of outsourcing going up?
All other fixed costs get better absorbed, no, with the increased top line. So that attributes the better improvement in margin.
No, sir, I was asking more on gross margins.
So what are you including in your gross margin?
So the raw material cost.
So what impact does outsourcing have on material costs? Because we give them the raw material and we pay them job work charges separately. So the material
That is part of that 56 crore operating and manufacturing expenses.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, so in first half, the top line grew by 22%. Out of that, let's say, how much would be the volume growth?
I don't have that data with me right now to give you.
Okay. And sir,
I can give you roughly that there is no great price recovery which has taken place. On the export front, which is about 70% of the sales, we have a top line growth of probably about 3-3.5% on account of exchange fluctuation, probably 4%. The rest is all volume growth.
Okay, okay. And sir, when your new plant starts in FY27, let's say maybe then 28 onwards, do we still have to outsource or we'll have enough capacity so that, you know, we can manufacture everything in-house?
So the plant is put up mainly for catering to the US and EU market. We will also use it for catering to some higher value areas like Latin America. But we would not like to use this plant for the rest of the world markets, which are lower margin ones. So there, if possible, we'll continue to outsource if we are falling short of capacity.
Okay. But say, let's say for developed market business, we would look to do everything in-house from the new plant.
That is right, yeah.
Okay. And sir, US and Europe business will give you what kind of gross margins or how much gross margins, you know, higher than the existing business?
Again, you are talking only in terms of material cost.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we expect that to be in the range of around 55-60%.
About 5-10% is higher than what you are currently making.
Currently, right, yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The last question for today's call comes from the line of Sai Ganesh from Square 64 Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have one question from my side. In FY25, in our other expense breakdown, processing charges have been doubled in absolute terms and increased from the historical range of 1.5-1.7% of sales to 3.1%. What led to this sharp rise in FY25? And from FY26 onwards, what should we assume for processing charges, both as a percentage to sales or in absolute terms?
Which cost has gone up, you said?
Processing charges.
Yeah.
Yes, it has doubled from our FI24 base. From 6 to, I think, level 4.
Yeah.
Yes, what has led to the sharp price? As a percentage to sales, it has gone up from 1.7 to 3.1%.
Yeah, currently we are outsourcing almost 15 to 20% of our production. So there has been an increase in demand, which has taken place, and our capacity was falling short. So that is the reason why it's gone up, because of increased outsourcing.
Okay, going forward from FY27, can we assume that to be in the range of our historical range of 1.5 to 1.7 as a percentage to sales?
That again depends. Actually, I just addressed that saying that we intend to use this new capacity only for the US, EU and higher value markets which exist in Latin America. In the, we would not like to use this that increased capacity for the ROW markets, which are lower margin markets. So, it depends on how the, you know, market is behaving. If we see increased demand coming in, we will still continue to outsource. So that might still be on the higher side.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Najne for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today and for your continued trust in NGL Finechem Limited. We remain committed to executing our strategy and delivering value in the quarters ahead. Thank you for your time, gentlemen, and have a good day.
On behalf of NGL Finechem Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.